Larry, I have Derek and your computer up over there.
But anyway, that's three people. Three different sightings that I talked to the last couple of weeks, the last 2 weeks.
I've not heard that.
Yeah, so. And around Wednesday, they have one logged out at the golf course out here, which would be reasonable. Somebody else saw one up here on the other side of the apple.
Call the meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Here.
Crunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Sansom?
Here.
Town?
Here.
Quorum present?
Okay. Our first item is a consent agenda, and the purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will automatically be respected. And today we have the regular city commission meetings, minutes of October 14th and the work session minutes from October 23rd.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes. Approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Next item of business is hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items. Do we have anyone in the audience that wishes to address the commission on a non-agenda item? Okay. Next item of business is correspondence. I have none. Do we have any from the commissioners?
No.
Okay. Moving forward, city manager's report.
A few items for you today. Despite all the wet weather, the East and Ray Street project continues to come together. Paving of most of the base coat took place late last week, with the top coat scheduled for installation this Thursday. With the weather, that may or may not slip. Installation of the underground wiring and the trees has also been taking place, and the new streetlight components, our first LEDs, arrived yesterday. So hopefully you'll start seeing those go up before too long. With the expansion of the Boeing Medical Center moving forward, the city was given the opportunity to obtain two nice pine trees, which we did dig up and transplanted out to the dog park. So you'll see them out there, and they're already coming up with ideas on how to decorate them for the holidays. Our application for our proposed safe routes to school improvements has been submitted for consideration and hopeful approval, so we'll keep you posted on that as it goes forward. New directional signs for the dog park that will be placed on West Michigan and Charlevoix Streets arrived last week and should be installed soon. Last week, our Main Street program was reviewed and reaccredited by the state and national Main Street programs for another 2 years. The MDEQ has requested more time to review the Lower Lake Street storm drain outfall permit that we submitted several months ago. We are meeting with them later today and hope to have an acceptable permit in early November. And we're trying to keep the neighbors apprised on that as well, too. They're very interested in how that progresses. We've received and are currently reviewing the Army Corps of Engineers draft permit for our proposed marina expansion. You'll recall this is the second half of the permitting process once we accepted the permit from the MDEQ. We have 60 days to complete our review, but anticipate that this matter will be coming to before the City Commission for consideration sometime in November. With the marina now closed and the summer season falling further and further behind, our new shopper's dock will be removed shortly and moved over to our closed marina for its annual winter storage. I've been appointed as one of the only two city managers to serve on the new Network Northwest Regional Prosperity Board, and that serves 10 counties in the Northwest Lower Peninsula of Michigan. This is a reformulation of the Northwest Michigan Council of Governments to bring it more in line with the governor's regional prosperity program and initiatives. And I'm hoping that my involvement will be good information and for the city of Boyne City and for all the others involved. I'll be out of the office tomorrow as I've been asked to participate in a panel at the Michigan Broadband Conference in Lansing. My travel costs are being partially offset by the conference organizers, which includes ACDNet. ACDNet has an item that'll be coming up as item 9F on the agenda. We'll be talking more about that later on. Kevin Schoen, who I believe is the president of ACDNet, will also be participating on the panel that I'm on. And I'm thinking there may be opportunities to discuss our situation with him there. So far, 334 ballots have been issued for next Tuesday's November 4th general election, and that's running ahead of normal trends. I'd like to congratulate our Boyne City Ramblers varsity football team on their undefeated regular season, I should say, and wish them continued success as they begin postseason play this coming Friday here at home against Elk Rapids. So that should be an intense game, as the last meeting with them was. I also hope everybody will have a safe and enjoyable Halloween, and would like to point out up on the board, I think several of you noticed that when we met for here in this room for our work session on the facilities last week, our goals are up there, and you have copies of them at your place for you to keep with you as well. If you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions from the commission? Derek.
On the DEQ permit, did they give a reason why they want more time, or what their concern is? Obviously, there's a concern that they would...
They have three main items that they want to talk to us about.
Yeah.
One is the shape of the pipe. We had proposed a round pipe. They would like to see a flattened, more oval one that they think can still handle the same flow capacities. So I think they're looking to try and lower the profile. They have concerns with our proposal to extend sand over the top of the pipe and then plant that with some type of species to, you know, native grasses and things of that nature to help hold it in place. They don't think that'll work, and would, I think they're encouraging us to put rock on top of the pipe instead, which was a little bit of a difference from what we were trying to accomplish with how it's normally used as a beach. And the other item is the length of the pipe. They've noticed that since the permit was submitted and some of the data that was in there, the water levels have come back up on the lake, and they would like to have the pipe shorter so it doesn't go into the lake as much. We're pointing out to them that, well, that's probably the reason why the pipe that is there now isn't reaching the lake, because the lake levels have dropped. So those are the three major issues that are out there right now. We're meeting with their representative later this afternoon to see what they what maneuvering room we have in those areas. But ultimately, they're the final granting. They have to grant a permission for anything that we do.
Right.
Do they make an adjustable pipe that could be added onto or taken off?
Well, that's basically what you end up doing, would be adding on or taking off. There really isn't a thing, an adjustable.
I mean, but it screws on in sections, or?
No, again, you're talking about like 24-inch mm-hmm. pipes that we're talking mm-hmm. about here, and they usually butt up together and are then somehow mortared in place or held in place yeah. by some other devices. They usually don't screw on some way. But that is one thing that I have considered is, okay, we would like the original length. Mm-hmm. And the reason that we wanted it is to make sure that the water got to the lake and didn't start taking its own course, you know, mm-hmm. left or right or whatever.
Issues.
Well, exactly. That's, I mean, those are some of the reasons that we've been mm-hmm. trying to address this originally. But there may be an opportunity that if, you know, the lake level comes up and it's up for a couple of years or something like that, that we would go and remove one of the sections that's out in the lake or something of that nature. Now, mm-hmm. they probably won't like the disruption, but that... They don't like having pipes in the lake where it could interfere with boat or other mm-hmm. traffic. Mm-hmm. So again, we'll get a better handle on it after we meet with them. Yeah. Cool. But the options that we had were either grant the request for an extension that they requested, or they were just going to deny the permit and we'd have to start all over again. So now there is an opportunity, I would believe, like there has been on the marina permits, where we can have them deny a permit, or they can deny a permit, then we can appeal it and still enter into negotiation with them on it in regards to But again, this all just drags out the process even longer, and we can't change anything until we do.
Need to be fixed.
Yep.
Anyone else?
Just a technical question. So the black top is going down, but the overhead is not underground yet, but that can happen through the conduits that's already in
the
place.
Conduits are already in place, and they're underneath the underneath the base coat already. The base coat was the most important to get down because as the weather gets nasty, we didn't want the subsurface there to be saturated. So that's protected. The biggest issue that we have is that there are two utility poles that are still up over by Barden's on E Street. And we haven't paved around those at this point. And we're trying to get the utility companies to get off there as quickly as they can so we can finish up paving. The worst case scenario that we see is that we will top coat everything and then shrink those unpaved areas as close as we can around those poles and then have a patch area that we would need to do either later this fall or the spring. But our crews, C2AE, their staff and so our staff have been basically bugging the utility companies for weeks now. We had pre-construction meetings, so they knew about this stuff months ago to get them moving, but some of the utilities aren't very responsive.
How do we make them responsive?
Well, there are limited legal ways to do that.
I'm all for the legal ways.
Yeah, I know.
For the record.
For the record, we are too.
Yeah.
But accidents do happen sometimes.
Okay. Reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have the September 2014 financial statement. And everything appears to be in order for today with the presentation we had 2 weeks ago. So I'm satisfied with it. Any questions from the commission? Okay, we'll move forward. Unfinished business. Division Street water issue update. And Mike, I'll let you take over on that.
Sure. Well, as the commission is well aware, there are ongoing issues with standing and underground water occurring on Division Street between approximately Lewis and Grant Streets. And that's the original areas that we've been talking about. And in recent conversations with Attorney Kevin Cleavorn, he's indicated that he's been contacted by property owners extending west about as far as Wilson Street. By some people that are affected by water at their areas. There have been theories expressed that our reconstruction of Division Street in 2008 has somehow affected the water flowing in its natural, or at least its historic course, from the south, which is from the avalanche and the hills rising up from it, to the north, towards the lower levels of Mud Lake, the Boyne River, and ultimately Lake Charlevoix. Here's what we've learned and pretty much understand so far. The swamps and the areas around the city's waterworks building on Division Street, which is a little bit to the west of the main area that we've been talking about for the last few months, has been historically the site of beaver dams and the community's original flowing water system going back for over 100 years. The area north of Division Street used to contain well-known fishing ponds, I think it's Titsworth Ponds were known for that, and were basically there before a lot of the Litzenberger Deer Meadows complex was created. In the early 2000s, the city extended a stormwater collection system from Lake Street to collect water from the east flowing from the waterworks building and also created a stub to collect water from Parkview's apartments' stormwater collection ponds. So we can slowly have extended our water, stormwater collection system. In 2010, the city rebuilt Division Street from Pleasant Avenue East to M75 South as a lower curb and gutter road with a much more thorough and extensive water collection system nearly its entire length, and those ultimately discharge into Lake Charlevoix. So instead of moving water from one area to the other up there, whatever water it picked up took well away and didn't move it on to abutting neighbors. In 2013, reports of surface and below groundwater issues were raised by Division Street resident and property owner Bill Kuhn, who owns several properties in the area. For several times, the city pumped standing water off from what seems to be one of the low spots in the areas, which is city property immediately south and west of Division Street, the intersection of Division Street and the Parkview Apartments driveway. And we pumped that into the Storm Street storm sewer system. We did that in the summer and fall of 2013, and then again on the spring of 2014 on several occasions. Water problems that were identified in 2013 continued and intensified through that winter and through the spring of 2014, with concerns regarding water emerging on both the north and ultimately on the south sides of Division Street. Mr. Tallboy's property, Ms. Kajewski's property as well. In that spring, we had met with resident Bill Kuhn. We had several staff people that were there, and Larry was there from C2AE as well. In the late spring of 2014, the city constructed a storm water collection system in that area. And that was noted in item number 6 above on the memo, and that was tied directly into our stormwater collection system. So again, any water that was collected from there was removed from the area and taken directly to Lake Charlevoix. After initially lowering the water level around the structure significantly, the water level appeared to again be increasing. Then in August, we received a letter from Attorney Kevin Cleavorn, which is re-provided for the City Commission here regarding water issues associated in this area. In the fall of 2014, early fall, we removed the filter fabric from around the structure that we created on Division Street to increase the water flow, and that water level at that corner again lowered. Shortly after doing that, the city installed 6 well points in pairs on the north and south side of Division Street at 3 different locations. And they're paired as number 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and 5 and 6. And we've included with the memo results that what we found from those monitoring points and compared that to data that was taken when the project was under construction. After that, we had a meeting with Attorney Kevin Cleavorn, Bill Kuhn, and Bob Brooks on this matter to review and share information and look for possible solutions. And this matter is returning to the City Commission for this report and for further consideration. Based upon the verifiable information that I have seen or been made aware of to date, to me, it demonstrates that the Division Street project, nor anything else that the city has done or hasn't done, has affected the water, what the water is doing in this area. This issue did not arise until a couple of years after our project was completed. The issue has arisen during a period, especially in the last 2 years, where we were about 12 and 4 inches above our annual precipitation levels. I think the trends are continuing this year as well. We have data from the National Weather Service for their Boyne Falls monitoring area, which is the closest in the area, that shows what's happened over the last 15 years. As I mentioned, this year tracks current to be well above average as well. We've also included information from the Army Corps of Engineers that shows even though just a couple of years ago we were dealing with Lake Michigan being at its lowest levels in recent history, which brought on our dredging and things of that nature down at the marina. It has now risen in one of its quickest rises in the lake of lake levels in its recorded history. My point being, it's been very wet, and it's exacerbating whatever is happening out at out on Division Street. Despite persistent rumors that there was a culvert across Division Street in the vicinity of Division and Parkview Apartments and the Grand Street intersections, we have been unable to find any evidence that this ever existed. We have found plans that when the senior center was built, that they constructed an extensive underground water collection system that basically encircles the entire building, and that drained into the water feature storm drain that's immediately west of their building, and then continues to flow north along Grant Street towards the woods. Those structures that they built were not affected by the road project, since we didn't go anywhere near the out of the right-of-way towards the senior center project. There was a culvert further east on Division Street towards Lewis Street that apparently at one time flowed under Division Street, and that was noted and capped since it was not functional. Since that pipe was put in who knows how long ago, the property that it flowed to north of Division Street had been filled in by its property owners over the year, so the pipe really had nowhere to flow any water. It appears that there are at least two levels of water in this area, surface and shallow groundwater being one of them, and then lower levels. It's the lower levels that we pump from south of the waterworks building, and those remain pretty much constant despite all the recent precipitation. So again, we go into a lower aquifer that we have two wells that tap into at that location. There used to be a third well, but that's not been active for decades and was removed probably about 5 or 6 years ago, the carcass of what was there. There has been a theory expressed that since we don't use well number 3, which is our southernmost well right at the almost at the base of Avalanche Mountain, in that area as much as we used to, that somehow that has raised our water levels. Dan has produced information, and we've shared that, that the Water Department well monitoring records don't reflect any change. The level that it has at that lower level is pretty consistent. We've also been noticing increased and unusual water complaints and observations from all over the city over the last couple of years that can have nothing to do with the Division Street work. We've had water flowing on Court Street as one example at the far north end of town, across that road through a good part of many of the summers the last couple of years. We had water at the airport that stood on the ground for months longer than usual after the snow melt, and that the woods in the area are wetter than usual. So we've had wet occurrences that are occurring all over town, and not just related to this Division Street project or area. Larry is here, and he can describe in greater detail the work that was done on Division Street and why it does not appear that it had any effect on what is taking place now. But with all that said, I mean, there is still high water in that area, and it is on city property. And there's no doubt that it has been affecting some of the abutting property owners, especially Bill Coos with some of his properties there. The snowmobile trail that goes across our property into Avalanche and is south of Division Street has been and remains underwater. The corner closest to the Parkview Apartments still has some water in it, even though it's much less than there has been. There are still existing opportunities to reduce the water on our property, and we think that would have a positive effect on some of the others because it would be removing water from that area and taking it directly to the lake. And those are labeled as here on my memo as A, B, and C. By taking that existing structure that we put in earlier this year that was approved by the City Commission, taking that out and laying the pipe so it is basically flat which is not an ideal condition for pipes to be in. We generally like to have a little bit of a grate on it so it drains the water and keeps the pipe cleaner, better. But we could lay that that pipe flat. We believe it would work. There might be some increased maintenance regarding that. And that would, we believe that would lower the water that's in that corner by about 6 inches. If we decided to actually go into the road, which is something I would, I'm strongly trying to avoid, and go into the structure. So instead of tying into the catch basin at the edge of the road by that structure we put in, but by going into the middle of the street where the pipe, the storm main actually runs, we could lower the whole, the water level by approximately 12 inches total. So it's not 6 plus 12, it's only, it's 12 at that. But that's a much more extensive and expensive option. Item C is we could reduce the water between 3 and 4 feet by taking the pipe, by taking a pipe west to the front of Parkview Apartments and tie it into the stormwater main stub that we installed there. So there's a pipe basically running north and south from the center of Division Street south towards the Parkview Apartments ponds that they have in their property for their stormwater drainage system. We could tie into that by running a pipe that basically ran parallel to Division Street on that location. In the meeting with Kevin Cleavorn that we had earlier, we talked about that opportunity, and I'm generally inclined to recommend that if we could get an easement from the property owner to allow us to do that, and basically that we knew that they weren't going to just turn around and sue us after we did it anyway. We estimate that that project would cost about $15,000. If we were unable to get an easement and had to go into the road, it would cost an estimated $50,000 to $60,000. There's a lot. If you look there right now, it looks like between the back of the curb and the road right away, going a little bit south towards the Parkview Apartments, towards the multi-use path in that area, it looks like there's a lot of area to work with there. There's some green space and things of that nature that's still in the road right away. But we got so many other utilities with phone lines, gas lines, water lines, things of that nature to work around that there really isn't room for conveniently moving one more pipe or putting one more pipe in there. So that's why we're proposed the easement option. When we're looking to put this on the agenda, I contacted Kevin Cleavorn to make sure that he was aware and that the people that he's working with could be aware of as well too. He's still trying to seek a comprehensive solution to the concerns that he's heard from his people out there, and said he remained open to conversation, and I remain open to those as well too. But I know there has been some concerns that we're getting into the cold season again, and that limits what we can do as we get into the winter. Although I was authorized by the City Commission probably about 2 months ago to hire a hydrologist to determine the cause of this issue, I've held off doing so at this point. To see, from my perspective, I was hoping that we could use the money to come up with a solution rather than trying to trace down what might be the cause of it. I don't know if anybody ever could trace down the cause of it. I do have some leads that I got from the tip of the mitt and the MSU extension. But again, I was more focused on trying to get a solution. So my recommendation is, although discussions remain incomplete, I'm inclined to recommend that we pursue option C above and see if we can obtain an easement to run a line across the Parkview property. And if the abutting Division Street property owners agree not to sue the city in the matter. And then I gave a number of options, and I put them in a kind of a rough order of my preference. If we chose not to pursue my recommended option. Option C would be, you know, have the discussion today, then have continuing discussions with the parties and possibly come back with additional options. If we really thought this was going to take us through the spring to come up with something, I would say pursue option A immediately and lower the water what we can right now. That's still a relatively low cost option, less than probably about $2,000, $1,500 or less to do that. We could pursue option B but I just am really not a fan of doing anything to cut into Division Street if we can do that. We can hire a hydrologist, but I'm not sure what they're going to be able to tell us at this point. Do nothing, I mean, again, I haven't seen anything that shows that we've done anything improper. You know, it's affecting our sites as well, but we could let nature take its court, or its course. And I was kind of jumping ahead to the next one, is probably my least preferred option is, you know, let the matter be resolved in court. And I'm fairly confident that if it was taken to court, that we would have a high probability of sustaining our position. I have informed our insurance company that this issue is potentially brewing out there, so they're aware of it as well too, and we can coordinate efforts if we need to. So that's our summary of where we are at this point. Larry has information he can present to the commission if and when you think it's appropriate. We have Kevin Cleavorn, Ms. Kajewski, and Bill Kuhn that are here, obviously, that have been affected by water issues too. I'd be glad to opine further or report on other information we have.
Okay, you've had the meeting with attorney Mr. Cleavorn earlier today?
No, there was no meeting today. The last communications I had with Kevin was on Friday when I basically called him up to let him know that this was going to be on the agenda for today, to make sure that he wasn't taken by surprise. So there have been no further discussions since then.
No, that's an information I'm happy to share.
Okay. Well, I think at this time I'll turn it over to Mr. Cleavorn here.
Thank you. Thanks, Ron. I can tell you what I know so far, and then we can go from there. Here's what I know so far.
The highlighted portions around the Parkview 10 acres is all city property, and so I'll just kind of use my picture here as a visual aid, if I can use this to illustrate. The really low point where the water is collecting here, this is Parkview Apartments Complex right here. This is city property, this is the Avalanche Preserve, this is city property. And this may be a combination of factors, but here's again what I know so far. We have consulted and hired an engineer to try to come up with some solutions in addition to what Mike has suggested. But timeline, let me just kind of tell you what I know so far. Billy Kuhn is here, and he has a rental right here at this portion right here where the water first came in and started to be a problem in the spring of 2013, about 18 months ago. So that was before the heavy precipitation, you know, the bad winter, the quick freeze, all of that stuff. He first started complaining, I've got water coming into my well pit here in this rental, and the water accumulated and grew to about 5 feet in depth in his well pit. This is the snowmobile trail, and people would walk their dogs and that kind of stuff. Well, even in the spring of 2013, again, before the heavy precipitation, this was getting impassable, and so right now no snowmobilers are going up into Avalanche through there. This has progressively become a higher and higher water table. And so it got to the point where, again, after a heavy winter, this became just a sea. And you can look here in pictures that I've got, or if you take a drive-by, there are trees that are 30, 40 feet tall that are in here that have grown throughout the years that are now dead. They've been killed in the last couple of years. What it appears to have done is this water has backed up, and again, this is the high part of Mr. King's property in Avalanche. The water flows down this way, so it gets down to this point, and it just slowly started to back up. Now what has happened is the water has migrated so that underneath Parkview, it's coming out over here. I just walked yesterday and took some pictures, and there's a sort of a, I'll call it a tributary for lack of a better word, that's coming out from underneath the parking lot here, and again, one in back of the Haynes property. I've been contacted by pretty much every property owner in through here. And they've tried to do their own sort of self-help remedies to try and alleviate the problem. But in essence, it looks like the water has backed up here. It is now migrated underneath Parkview. When Parkview was first constructed, we did soil borings in 1984. And so I gave you my initial packet when I first wrote to you guys the third week of August. There's a soil boring right there at the corner of that very first building that shows the water depth was 12 feet. Less than a week after I wrote to you, the water service line to Parkview broke because of the water pressure coming up and pushing against the bottom of it. And so they had to take immediate measures to address the problem, and at about the 4 foot level, there's a picture of Mr. Levanway with a tape measure, and I'll get to it and I'll pass it around. But the water level's risen, so it's only 4 foot below grade level now in this summer. So obviously if there's a soil boring in 1984 at 12 feet, and now you just take a tape measure down when you're trying to repair the water line and it's at 4 feet, the water table has come up dramatically. So the issue with regard to lake levels, again, I'm an old timer around here. So I remember in 64, after we moved here, the lake level was at its lowest point. If you look at the high water, all-time high water level for Lake Michigan, Lake Charlevoix, it's 1986. Okay? And that's when we were all having to put seawalls in the late 80s. Parkview broke ground in 1986 at the all-time high water mark. So the first complex was built in 86, the second one in 88, and the final one in 90. And again, when Lake Charlevoix was at its all-time high. So I don't think the precipitation or the lake levels are the issue. So the issue is, what are the combination of factors that are probably causing this? A couple of things. Obviously, Division Street was redone in the year 2010. That's when the reconstruction happened. If you look at the precipitation levels that Mike gave you, 2009 and 2010 were the first and third all-time low precipitation levels during that era. So whether it was redone when it was as dry as it possibly gets, probably. Since that time, we've had some precipitation, but the depth with which Division Street was redone appears to have created a dam. And I can, again, I was asked to come here today. I don't have all of my engineering data yet because we just hired the engineer after we talked with Mr. Fox here. But it looks like, number one, the water kind of backs up and then it's gone around this way. And so Mr. Tallboys has given me some pictures. His back lawn here has started to sort of sink, and he can't even mow his back lawn very much anymore. The water does not seem to be going across this way anymore, but I gave you in the second and third pages of the information I just provided to you what I was able to find from a review of the construction of the senior center here, and Ron was there and I wasn't, but it looked like the records itself shows that when they were first trying to do something here at the senior center, the ground was so wet that the excavator equipment got stuck. This area was so wet. And then in January of 2005, they're talking about a culvert that was right here at this very corner that went on to the senior center property. So that was sort of a little relief valve that used to take water away from this corner. Mr. Tallboys has been here since 1990. He remembers the culvert here. Skip Roberts is down here. He came back from Florida to find 42 inches of water in his basement. And so this is Mr. Roberts' property, and he showed me his pictures, but basically his basement was 3.5 feet of water that has, again, accrued because his sump pump failed and the water, groundwater just came up all around him. So the Haynes, all these people in here have done what they can. But the other thing that's happened, and again, we just consulted with an engineer, I don't know how much this has affected, but this is the well number two that the city is continuing to use right now. This is the one that is in reserve, the well number 3 that's shut down. But I don't know when a culvert was put in here, but there's now a culvert put in by the city that drains water from this area down again into this area. And so before the rains that we had heavy yesterday, there was very steady flowing water that's going from this part of city property down into here. If you went down to Mr. Hartwell's property right at the corner here and took your fly rod, you could probably get some pretty good casts in. There is a very heavy stream of water that's coming out right at the corner of Mr. Hartwell's property next to the 1910 building. So there is a huge buildup of water that's first coming here. It's now migrating under Parkview Apartments. You can see a couple of tributaries if you just walk there right now that's coming out here. So it's going underneath Parkview Apartments. The problem is it's not going here anymore the way it used to. This is, again, I've been around here a long time. I used to play minor league baseball on the corner up here where Litzenberger Place was. But this used to be the area where the fish ponds were. This was the natural migration of the property, of the water down here. It's no longer going there. So the senior center is well protected. Deer Meadows is well protected. Litzenberger is well protected. When Division Street was redone in front of Mr. Roberts, the storm sewers go down 12 feet. Okay, so that's from this point forward, there isn't an issue. The problem is back this way, it appears, and Mr. Fox can correct me if I'm wrong, but the storm water in the middle of Division Street is only down about 6 or 7 feet, if I recall. All of the excavation of Division Street, at least from the local residents, will all report that we did not have a problem until Division Street was redone. Since Division Street was redone, the water has continued to kind of fill the area. It seems to be backing up, so that finally it migrates over. Mr. Kuhn has a problem over here. It's now gone to the point where it's backed up and it's going underneath Parkview here. And again, the tributaries showing, they're coming right out from underneath the parking lots. So there is a tremendous amount of water that's built up here. And again, appears to have started long before we had a hard winter and a lot of precipitation. So whether it's a combination of it was really dry the 2 years before this was redone and the water table was lowered, then Division Street was redone and some of the natural ways the water used to flow weren't able to go that way anymore. That's what appears to be the case. Perhaps a discontinuation of one of the city wells so that groundwater is not being drawn down as much as it used to be. The bottom line is these folks along and through here, Parkview, Mr. Kuhn, have significant water problems. Mm-hmm. And the water again will migrate over this area down back of Mr. Tallboy's property and eventually get to Mrs. Kajeski's property. But this area right in here that used to be the natural flow down to the Titsworth ponds over time has been altered. Mm-hmm. And so again, whether it was a basal moor culvert that was put in with no records, we don't know, other than the fact that the people that live in the neighborhood can tell you, yep, there used to be a culvert right at that corner. Again, the city records that I was able to dig out through the FOIA request show that, yeah, they were talking about the culvert that was there when they were going to do the senior center. And therein lies the problem. But we're happy to work with Mr. Kane. We're called here a little bit before the time we were ready, since we didn't have any of the engineering reports in yet. We just were able to hire the engineer. So any questions that I can answer for you folks?
I have a question in regards to option C that our city manager has proposed. Where would that start and where would it end? And
there's the water.
Is there a 99% chance that it'll solve the problem?
Here, it would certainly be better than nothing. I don't know that without the professionals telling us, yeah, that will solve the problem. What was proposed to us was dig this down, run, because this is a grade going downhill this way, run it across a little bit of the front of Parkview and connect it there. And so hopefully that would pull the plug in the bathtub a little bit and start to drain this corner down. Whether in fact that will help Billy Kuhn out, your educated guess is, well, yeah, probably, hopefully, if you lower the lowest point, that will help him back here. Whether that will stop a flow over across the street into a Tallboys property, I don't think it will help any of the folks over here. Because unless just the complete lowering of this will take all of the pressure off here, because the water is flowing underneath Parkview right now. Again, the picture that I gave you shows it's at a 4 foot below ground level now, and it's at what used to be 12 feet. So that's a lot of water that's come up. So whether or not some of the residents here have proposed, again, since this is all city property here, it's basically deer cover and not good for much else, is to maybe trench here to try to alleviate the backflow of water that's coming into people's basements and get it into the lower part, the 12 foot drop right there. Whether or not, again, you might have to take some cedar trees out, but no great loss there. You're not having to fuss with any utilities here. It may be a combination of both. But the residents in through here would say, gee, we'd be okay with putting in a trench here that puts the water down here to where the, again, on the corner of Mr. Hartwell's property, is a steady flowing river now. It may need to be both of those, Ron, to answer your question, just to be able to relieve the water. But there's just a lot of water there. You know, when you take a look at the level of water there in August, end of summer, when it's about as dry as it's supposed to get, and the guy that's trying to repair the water lines in here can't dig fast enough and fill back in fast enough, just because of the volume of water that's coming in, it's kind of Houston, we have a problem sort of thing. So answer to your question is, I don't know, Ron, if that all by itself will solve the problem at this point.
Larry, could you weigh in on that? You know, certainly. As far as option C?
Yes, I certainly would like to.
Switch over to your unit.
Yes, please. Okay, and hopefully I can stay out of the way here. So before I start, first thing I want to say is, you know, nothing I say is intended to diminish that there's a problem there. Basically, I've been involved in this because the allegations that Division Street has caused this whole problem. And since we were the designers and did construction engineering for Division Street, obviously we felt that it was our obligation to assist the city in trying to determine the facts and pursue this further. So I spent a lot of my own time and our company's time in doing this. And so basically supporting the city in that role, as well as ourselves. Everything that I saw in Mike's memo, I consider to be accurate and in total agreement. So I want to start with that point. So we've got a lot of information. I don't want to overwhelm you, but I do want to point out a few things that would appear to make Mr. Cleborn's allegations that Division Street caused this whole issue are inaccurate. Okay, so I'd like to touch on that. You can ask me to go further if you like, but I don't want, you know, think you want to spend here all day or necessarily try this here at a city commission meeting. But I'm prepared to do whatever it is you suggest. Now, I was involved in the meeting with Mr. Cleborn and Mr. Kuhn. We spent a couple of hours going over the same information. And so it's not a surprise to them, although it will contradict much of what Mr. Cleborn said today. And from that, I'll start with that. All right, I'm going to start off with this aerial. I could not see Mr. Cleborn's presentation very well, so I'm not sure some of the areas that he was pointing to, but we'll just kind of go with this. Starting with this, because this is just an aerial of the area that we are talking about. This may be difficult for me to do here, but. So you can see, can you see my cursor?
You need a pointer, Larry.
I've got to look this way.
First button.
Okay.
So this is Parkview Drive, Parkview Apartments. This is the senior center. Mr. Coon's property, Coon Drive. Some area Mr. Coon owns. This is the low point that was talked about. Mrs. Kujewski's property up to the north. So this is the general area that we focused our review. So again, this is for background information. Now I want to go to our construction or engineering drawings. Okay, so this is a little more detail of the area that we're talking about. And this gives us some of the area. Let me scale back just a second. Okay, so hopefully you can see this, but again, this is the Parkview Apartments. This is their driveway. And the senior center drive is here. This is the low area. This is Mr. Coon's property here. This is a culvert that was, when it was dug up, was found to be not functioning until it was abandoned. But a couple things to note on here. Mr. Cleburne, in his original letter, indicated some information with regards to soil borings that were conducted 2009 prior to the construction, which is typical for construction, and referenced some water surface elevations in there. Okay, so I just bring that up because I'm going to refer to those later. So that's the location, I think, soil boring 5, and this is soil boring 6. So as part of working with the city to determine if there really indeed has been this berm or huge dam constructed by this roadway reconstruction, we discussed the possibility of the city installing some monitoring wells to actually get some current water surface record elevations, which was done. So the city in September installed these 6 monitoring wells, which then took elevations. And those elevations were compared to the soil boring water surface elevations that were done in 2009. And again, we'll get to that. Also, as part of this review, I went through what we call the inspector's daily reports from the construction of the project. So I went through every day for the construction of this roadway to review what happened, what was recorded, and any other information that would come with this. These are very detailed accounts of what happened every day during construction, and I'll just show you one example of that. Okay, so this happened to be September 30th. So this is when they were just east of Mr. Coon's property. You can see that the weather, the contractors noted, our inspector, the temperature, the number of personnel that they have, all the equipment that was had, the number of hours that was used, site information. This is all the pay items that were installed during that day with notes that might be applied to those as to where, when you talk about location, work that was performed. A couple of things I want to note are sewer class A 15-inch, trench detail B is a pay item. There was 202 of that feet installed that day. Noted that the material is class 3, which is a granular drainable material. But material remark is existing material was used as backfill. Again, sewer class A 18-inch, similar recording. Then these are signed and put into the record. There's also an inspector's field book that's kept for every day, includes additional information. This day particularly, you can see that there was some storm sewer. This hatch meant it was installed the day previous. This was the storm sewer that was installed this day. Some pretty detailed measurements and records of what went on, where it went. This happens to be going, this is upside down, where's the north? This is going to the east. So this is one of the culverts that were referenced in Mr. Cleburne's letter that said was made non-functional during part of the project. Well, actually, it's noted right here existing 12-inch steel culvert not functioning, so then two each 12-inch bulkheads, which means the pipe was cut because they had put the storm through here and then bulkheaded on each side. So it was in fact not functioning when it was encountered in 2010. And as Mike mentioned, because there is a property on the north side of the road that had been filled to the roadway level, that had probably been not functioning for a long time. But this is the level of the detail that went into the record. So I wanted you to see that. So let's see. So every day I went and plotted and reviewed every daily record review. Nothing untowards was done as part of this construction. This storm sewer that you see here in the profile is as deep as the project went. There were no other utilities that went any deeper than this. And so when we get to talking about constructing a huge berm again, I want to go back to this. One thing to note, that right directly in front of Mr. Kuhn's property, there was marl and some poor soils that were encountered during the construction. These were documented, and these were actually removed and replaced with what's called a class 2 granular material, which is a very porous, permeable material that transfers water very readily. So we took out some very poor soils and backfilled with some very clean sands that drain well directly in front of Mr. Kuhn's property. I also want to note that this hasn't been brought up by Mr. Cleborn, but as not as part of this project, but as the project occurred, Mr. Kuhn had the contractor install or in place some spoil material on his property that elevated part of his property and created a drainage cutoff from here that went to the west in the past. So that, I'm not saying that's a direct cause, I'm just saying it could have exacerbated it and certainly is something that should be considered. So also as far as a culvert, our plans did not show a culvert. The 1986 Ranger Engineering plans for the water system did not show a culvert, although they did show this one. The plans that we did sometime in the 1990s for the bike path did not show a culvert. And it's my understanding that the city obtained the construction drawings for the senior center, which did not show a culvert there. Okay, so I'm not saying there was never a culvert there. I'm not saying there still could be a culvert buried there. All I am saying is, based on the documentation records that we have, and you saw the degree of documentation that we went through, there was no culvert that was encountered during this construction, certainly none that was removed or made inoperable that was in that location. So if there were a culvert there in the past, then either it's still there and buried deeper than we went, or it was taken out some other time. And I can't explain how or when that could have happened. Okay, so then I'll go back to this drawing as far as the groundwater elevations. Got a couple of cross-sectional drawings to show you. Okay, the first one is the cross-sectional drawing for the area directly in front of the Parkview Apartments. I'll go back to that drawing and make sure you're following exactly where I'm at.
Can I interrupt for sure. Just a second? The grade, the actual grade of the road in that area, was it raised any higher than the previous grade?
Excellent question. And the answer to that is no. You can see the cross sections. And typically, you'll follow this all along, that this is the new roadway here, and it was built lower than the existing roadway. And generally, we did that because to match the back of the curb elevation to the existing ground. And so the roadway was typically lowered somewhat. Went through all these cross sections. It's either matched the grade or it was lowered a little bit. Nothing significantly raised. Okay, this is the location then, what was called soil barrier number 5 and monitoring wells number 1 and number 2. So this is the roadway cross section for that area. So as part of this construction, basically the only utility that was constructed in this area was the storm sewer. And you can see that I plotted the storm sewer in relation to the roadway.
This would be the south side. So this is the south as the Great Falls north, or I'm sorry, south to north, Great Falls away. You can see that the storm sewer was constructed 5 to 6 feet deep. So there was no excavation ever done below the storm sewer level, except in the subgrade undercut area, which we took soils out a little deeper, but replaced them with very highly permeable soils. And all of the IDRs indicate that the material that was taken out and backfilled for this trench was class 3 material. It was a permeable sandy material, and it was put back in place. Okay, so the material that came out went back in. The storm sewer was about 5 feet deep. 5 to 6 varies, sometimes it's deeper. This is an elevation of the storm, or the groundwater elevation at soil boring number 5 as recorded in 2009. So the soil boring was taken on the northerly lane of the roadway. We couldn't go back and put a monitoring well in that exact location. So there were monitoring wells placed on each side of the roadway. This was the water surface elevation at that time. These are the water surface elevations that were taken in September. So you can see, if you draw a line between those two, there has not been a significant change in the water surface under the roadway. And certainly, this storm sewer is still above, and all excavation that was done is still above the groundwater elevation. So certainly is not damming water up, preventing it from flowing under the roadway.
Because you're saying the water already flows underneath it.
Yes, it did before and it still does. Okay, now these are a couple of other cross sections. Just for information, this is closer to Mr. Kuhn's property, but still just a little bit west. Very same situation. Storm sewer depth, you can see where it was placed. This is the groundwater elevation in fall of 2009. This is the groundwater elevation currently. So you can see in this area, it looks like it's raised about a foot. But again, it's still below the elevation of the storm sewer and any excavation that took place as part of this construction project. So again, this trench or this road is not causing a dam and making water flow off the hill, you know, to the south, right?
Larry, if we're standing on that road, and I'm assuming we're continuing to look to the east, if we were standing right above that pipe in this drawing.
That's correct.
And you were saying earlier that when those soils were disturbed to get down to that pipe, I think they were either replaced with the same soils that came out of that trench or in that area, or with soils that were more flowable than what was in there before.
That's correct.
Is there any, when the soils are put back in the hole and they're compacted so that the road, you know, doesn't sink or something in the future, is there anything with the density that changes that could have any effect on this?
It could have a minimal impact, but because of the materials, it would not be anything significant.
You'd still have water passing through it, you
Yes,
think?
Yes. Okay, so that, and then there's one more cross section that we drew on here to help explain some of Mike's options. Back up a little bit. So this then is a cross section that was done at the pond area or low point. So this is the storm sewer that was originally constructed and the catch basin that's on the edge of the roadway and the curb and gutter at that point. We did some monitoring wells here, just to see what the water surface elevation, water elevation was. But we don't have a soil borne that was taken in that location, so we can't compare it to anything. This is just current. But you can again see that the groundwater elevation is still below any impacts that the roadway construction had. This is where Mike had mentioned that there's a potential to lower this by taking this pipe and going back to the back of this catch basin, flattening it out, it could be lowered about 6 inches. If we went back to the roadway and record this manhole, record this one, laid everything flat, you could gain 12 inches. So that's the information for that.
All right. If I could either to Larry or to Andy, behind that structure right now, how much water do we have standing there right to this point approximately? Or last time you guys checked? I mean, we've had some rain since then.
I haven't checked since I got back. And it rained quite heavily yesterday, is my understanding, while I was gone, but it seemed like there may be a foot of water back there. Because right close by, we did some digging to scratch things out while we were constructing. But from what we could tell when we were putting that, the pipe and everything in, and going back and digging up again to pull the fabric off that they clogged up around the outside, it seemed like out away from our little ways, outside the digging area we're doing, it was about a foot difference at that point.
Okay. One more thing, I'll get to your question about those options. This might provide some clarification. Okay, so we have a manhole there. I'll get both of this in here. Okay, so there's a storm manhole located right here that was built lower because it had to pick up this inlet from the Parkview Apartments basin. So you take the drainage from the Parkview Apartments basin, take it into your storm sewer system, and discharge it to the lake. So this storm sewer down here was built lower. Then, because you can see the ground's coming up quite a bit, didn't have to be that deep. This pipe was put in at a higher grade, and so this pipe is only down about 6 feet. So in order to use the elevation afforded by this storm manhole, there are a couple options. Well, the first options we went through are just basically right here in those pipes. Lowering 6 inches by replacing that, lowering 12 inches by going all the way to the manhole. If we could tap into this pipe and go to the east and into this basin or this low area, we believe that the grade could be lowered by about 3 feet. Now the ground elevation below the water surface right now might only be 1 feet, so we might just have a hole 2 feet below grade, which may or may not do any good at all, but would certainly get rid of all the standing water in there, so it takes away that complaint. But beyond that, so that's a potential. Basically, construct a new structure over top of here, run a pipe over here with an inlet. You'd have some restoration to do. But we did look at the potential of doing it down through here. As Mike mentioned, there's the bike path, there's gas, there's fiber optic telephone, and there's a 12-inch water main right here. And you cannot construct a storm sewer within 10 feet horizontal of a water main. So basically, we cannot construct a storm sewer in the right of way without either crossing the road or going down the road. So this is one option that could gain about 3 feet in elevation. So you could drain that whole pond and perhaps even lower to something. Maybe some more groundwater would get into it, maybe not. Or if you cannot get an easement to do that, the other alternative basically is to reconstruct this pipe from this manhole to here, this pipe to here, this pipe to here, reconstruct the roadway in that area for about $60,000. So not an option that seemed very attractive for potentially little gain.
Right? One of the options that was originally discussed when this water was ponding back here was to kind of go back to what people think used to happen. Again, I haven't seen any documentation other than urban legend, which is somewhere in this area in here, there was a pipe that went from here or here across to here. That's kind of the discussion that there is out there, that pipe may have existed at one point. There was discussion about the possibility of taking the water from here and just running a pipe over to here somewhere and then let nature take its course, to kind of recreate that urban legend of a pipe that was there. I really don't like that option. That's just, from my perspective, that's just moving the problem. And one of the things that, and I'm not here to get into a debating match necessarily, but I will if I need to. Kevin is a very good advocate for his clients. I mean, that's what he's paid to do. My job is I'm an advocate for the community. I'm supposed to report the facts, not for any one person in particular. For the community. I don't know how they can have it both ways with regards to the road is damming the water and the road is sending the water around to hit Mrs. Kajewski or Mr. Tallboy's house. Those two seem in conflict to me. They don't make much sense. It's one or the other. If this is serving as the dam that they're proposing that it is, then Mr. Jeske and Mr. Tallboys should be in better shape than they are, because basically the same construction methods were used the entire length of the road. And there isn't anything different, or, and Larry can correct me if I'm wrong, over by Mr. Tallboys or at certain locations along the road. But my main point with regards to this is, if we just move the water from here to here, it's going to, I would believe it, create problems, more problems for Ms. Kajewski and for the other people that are laying north of this site, because we're just moving that water. What we've done, and it kind of goes back to the mayor's question to Larry earlier, is the entire length of Division Street is now a ditch. Basically look at it as a ditch, because we got curbs and it's lower than 6 inches or so. And along that, we have structures that take the water someplace else. So what we had before was, we had a paved road with ditches on the side for a good chunk of it, with no, until you got close to Park Street and things by the 1910 building, and to the creek that's by Mr. Hartwell's house that has been flowing for years, to that culvert that Mr. Cleborn referred to earlier back in the woods back there, that's been there before I got here. We may have replaced it with the different ones over the years, but that flow has basically been going there for years. But before, we had a road that just shed the water off to either side. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a road that does what it does now and collects much, much, much more water and takes it someplace else. So if we were having these same circumstances, you know, and it'd be nice to be able to compare, you know, in a world without the road improvement or the world with it, which is what we have now, and we can experience that, I would think the situation would be so much worse, because we'd have a system there that isn't taking all this water that's coming down avalanche and now being taken away in good chunk by our storm drain system. It's funny how life goes around. When our family moved to Traverse City, we were in the Heron Hill subdivision on Timberlane Drive, at the base of some really great sledding hills and an old orchard that was behind me. It's now the, I'll forget the name of the sub. But anyway, it's a real nice sub that's up there. And anyway, my point is, we're at the base of this huge hill, and I'm coming from Dearborn. And we had this little round little pond in the middle of our, or in the corner of our basement, that had this pipe that pumped water every so often. Well, we had a sump pump. First time we'd ever experienced it. Didn't know what in the heck it was. Dry years, that thing would never go off. Wet years, it was going off all the time, and that basement always flooded. And that was because we were at the bottom of a hill. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it was. No matter what we did, what we put on the inside or the outside of the house, that basement flooded when it wanted to flood. And unfortunately, as we have more and more growth in this area, we have people that built next to swamps. Those swamps were there long before the city did anything with Division Street. You know, Skip's house and all those people, there was a swamp back there. That's where we used to get our water from for hundreds of years. So nothing's really changed other than the water levels have gone up, in my perspective. So I guess the real thing I was trying to say is, we looked at this, we didn't think that was a good option, because that was just moving the problem from one place to the other. I think this provides an option to continue to take more water away, as I believe we have been doing.
Got a question for Larry. The relief work that was done to the two neighbors directly west of the Parkview, did that bring the relief that was intended? I mean, because previous to putting that in, oh, maybe Andy's got his hand up, but I walked back there a few times where that water was 4 or 5 foot deep, you know, those burns that they created there. But
I think Andy, it would be better to put in just that one.
There was no engineering involved with that from our prospect. That was all done by the individual homeowners. The only thing was done other than the contractor saying, hey, I can do this, this is gonna do that. And it seemed to deliver exactly what they said it was gonna do for them at that, as far as my understanding is. I had not heard from those residents.
So there's no huge ponds back there by that berm that was set up?
There was.
Are they still there though?
It doesn't seem to be, again, I don't, go there. They haven't called with any further issues. I haven't had any contact from those residents.
Mike?
Just for the commission's information, you know, I've been here 12 years, and before the Division Street project was underway, we get reoccurring complaints from some of those neighbors, basically from Parkview to Mr. Hartwell's property, so basically continuing a little bit east, that would include Skip's and those two houses that you just talked about. Long before the Division Street project took place and some of the ownerships have changed, we get regular complaints with regards to Parkview's water situation and dumping water on them into those backyards, that Parkview didn't have a functioning storm drain system, or they weren't maintaining it, or they weren't dredging their ponds on a regular basis to collect the water that our stub now runs to. So, I mean, some of these issues, even in this location, predate the wet weather events, predate the Division Street taking place, and basically are just historical as to what's taken place there over the years. It's just a lot worse right now. I don't know if Larry had anything else, and Bill's had his hand up too.
Well, I don't know, I was aghast, you know, looking at those ponds that were back there. Some of them were 4 or 5 foot deep, you know, prior to the R&B work at times. So there's a lot more. I mean, a child could come in there and drown. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, you know, a lot of kids live in that area.
One of the things,
I guess that was my concern.
Well, one of the things, Ron, I'd like to point out that we've asked an engineer to consider would be whether it is possible to kill two birds with one stone. If it's possible to put some kind of drain here, but not run it along the street, but Parkview would have to agree to have it run basically this way, sort of across their front lawn, and then maybe pick up some of this water back here, because I have talked to Paul and Kathy, and I have talked to Dale Jones, and they are continuing to have water problems even after they've put in those connections into the storm, city storm, along Division, because the water just keeps coming up in their backyard. And so whether or not it is possible to run something, again, across from that corner, whether that's too much uphill, again, we just were able to get going on the project to come up with some of our own suggested solutions to present to you, but I got called here before we have all of the numbers together, whether that will work or not. But that certainly would avoid the water main fiber optic, blah, 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 issues.
Mike?
And there may be some potential for something like that. The creek that Mr. Cleavorn and I both referred to that runs immediately to the west of Mr. Hartwell's house, that creek used to just free flow before the city tied that into the storm drain system. So all the water that goes in down that creek, that river, Mr. Hartwell contacted me about planting fish in it this summer, that all goes into the storm system. So if there is a system that could be created, like he's talking about a trench or something like that, that directed water to that creek, I mean, once you get it to that creek, it flows into our storm drain system is what I'm trying to say. So there may be some potentials there. And if that takes the pressure off the surrounding area, maybe that's something we could take a look at in addition to, or I'm thinking kind of in place of some of these other items. The idea we had was, okay, what can we do to get some more water out of the area? But again, I think these are long-standing issues and aren't necessarily just the city's responsibility.
I think if you can do the $1,000 or $2,000 lowered another 6 inches, again, that's at least a stopgap band-aid. Let's try to keep the water as low as possible. But we were trying to come up with some tie in a whole bunch of parcels to come up with a solution, but
and I'd be glad to have, as I mentioned to the commission that earlier, and as I wrote the memo, to have those ongoing conversations with Kevin. But there was a concern that was expressed to me that we didn't want to see that we're just pushing this matter off and, you know, just kind of dragging it out. So that's why it's on your agenda today.
Mr. Coon.
Yeah. For a while here, it turned out to be the defense of Division Street, and I appreciate Larry's work and the stress he's had to go through along with all of us on this. And option C, selfishly, I feel would fix my problem, but I've become aware of how big this problem really is, and everybody needs to get relief from this. So I'd like to see it, I'd like to see us explore and pick our best option. And I'm not so sure it's C, even though I would like to see that happen today. So to go back to the table with it and get some more engineering in involved. And I go back to that letter from Oral Sutliff, who has the most history on that property of anybody that I can find in town. 70 years of farming that area, no water. My house was built in 1950. The pine tree is probably 100 years old, no water. So there's a great big problem, and we just need to fix it. That's what we should do in a small town.
Thank you, Bill. Mike?
Even that statement, and you know, everybody knows I know Oral real well, and I consider him a close friend. But even that statement, I think there's pieces to that that don't ring true in my mind. Because if there was no problem with water, why would the culvert that was found further to the east of your property towards Lewis Street exist? Because there is a low spot over on that one side of the road, so something must have happened for a collection of water that I haven't quite figured out.
Can I respond to that?
Certainly.
That for the 35 years I've lived there, it's been nothing but dry dust until the last couple of years. And those are Oral's recollections too. But accounting, that area is probably at the most a quarter of the size of the area that's holding all the water now. So if there was a culvert in that low area, it does make sense that there should have and could have and probably was a culvert in the other area. It may have been deeper, like Larry, we talked about at the meeting. It may have never got hit, or it may have came out at a different time. But somehow that water wants to go, and we just got to find a way to let it go and take care of it. So it's resolved. I mean, it's been a year and a half for me, and it's just time to really find a good answer for this.
Mike?
Bill and I had the opportunity, and he was gracious enough to take me for a tour, and we went walk on the site, and we talked about it, about, you know, what's been going on, and we've had some good communication over the months. And he also indicated, I mean, an encouraging sign was, okay, he's got his house up on the hill, and he has the two lower properties. And earlier this year, maybe late last year, both his lower properties were threatened. They were really at economic risk as to whether they'd be viable. It appears the work that we've done up to this point has taken, if not completely, most of the pressure off the house closest to his driveway, just west of the White House. The other house, where Marie's at, it's reduced the pressure on that, but it's still significant. There's still 4 or 5 feet of water in this old well pit that's down there, things of that nature. But it does seem that when we do take water down at the corner, it does have an impact. I mean, slowly the area seems to find a level, and you know, all these rains keep bringing it back up, but then at least it keeps dropping back down. So part of me thinks if we got nowhere further this fall, you know, I would almost go with Larry's, I mean, with Kevin's suggestion is, okay, I'd put a little bit more money in, dig up the bike path again and lower that 6 inches to get as much relief out of there, and then we can go forward. Well, potentially other options are being investigated.
Our thought was you wouldn't have to do a lot of underground stuff. I mean, you could even make that, you know, an open trench or something like that. I mean, that way you could wouldn't have to worry about test wells or whatever, but if there was a way to go across Parkview and then have something where, shoot, you could just walk back there and see it flowing and measure it with a tape measure. You wouldn't need all of this. That's why I thought this, if it was open here in back of the city flowing into that, that would certainly be less expensive. You're not doing underground stuff. So that was just our bright idea, but I just don't have the engineering to give that to you yet. So, but if Larry wants to be involved, or Mike, we're happy to talk. I'm coming up with a collective community solution.
Could you share with us who the engineering firm is?
Sure, Jim Malowitz. We talked to Performance Engineering.
Performance Engineering. Okay.
I just dumped everything on his desk to have him come up with some ideas here.
Mrs. Kajewski.
Oh, thank you. My concern is that I've lived there also for 30-some years, right? And since the spring of 2013, or up until that point, my sump the water out of the basement didn't run in the summer. But something has happened up there where now, since the spring a year ago in April, my sump runs all the time. When they pumped some of that water out of that catch-all up there by the park view, the rotation of that pump running, it did let up and was only running like every 15 minutes. Something happened. It's running every 2 minutes. Now, that water up there has something to do with the, you know, with the pressure that keeps that water flowing more. There's to make my pump go that often. And 2013, that's when the pump couldn't handle it and it was flooding because it was coming in way down at the floor level of the basement. It was never coming through the wall, but it was coming down lower at the floor level. So that water was building up and it's been running ever since.
So what you've said, you have experienced some relief and it's only running every 15 minutes now?
At the time they pumped the water out of that catch basin up by the park view.
Okay.
It did let up,
mm-hmm.
and only was pumping every 15 minutes then. But then something happened. And now it started up again where it's running every 2 minutes.
Okay.
In order to handle it. And it, when it gets to come down through on the floor level, there's no, it won't take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Andy or Dan, do you have anything to add to the discussion before I go to the commission?
There's several things that you should know about that project area and the water problems up there. The soil conditions aren't the same all the way along Division Street. When you dig up there, you're going to find pockets of clay, pockets of hardpan. Some mixed sandy soils, and none of it runs for much over 50 yards, 100 yards at a time. There's varying conditions all the way through there.
Excuse me, can I interrupt you when you say hardpan? Are you talking about shale?
No, it's basically a hard-packed yellow sand. If you try and hit it with a shovel, the shovel will bounce. Water won't go through it. It's just a little bit less dense than concrete.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. You have to chisel through it or dig through it with equipment. But it's not very porous. It doesn't transmit water. The clay layers don't. And the water coming off of that area has to work around through those different lenses along that area. We put one of the test wells in right next to that pond.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the back side of the bike path. We didn't do any digging or excavation in that area when we tried to put the test well in or the well point. At about 4.5 to 5 feet, we hit hardpan. The hardpan layer was 3 to 4 feet deep. That's all the way down to where that water is standing. the soils along the side impact how much water crosses the road where and what direction the water's going. And all of the water we're dealing with up there is coming from the south, it's coming off those hills, it's surface water. It's not really a road construction project that caused it. There is water there, and an issue we have to deal with. But it's due to the increase in the water we've got in the last few years. The well records I've got go back for about 20 years since those wells were put in on the south side. The water table in that area varies plus or minus about 1.5 to 2 feet over 20 years. There have been highs and there have been lows. Right now we're at as high a point as we've ever recorded in our wells. And it is about 1 to 1.5 feet higher than it was when we did construction. That is the deep water table, the surface water. You can dig through most of that area. From the 1910 building back to Parkview, groundwater is at about 2 feet. You get to Parkview, it's going uphill a little bit. Standing groundwater is a little bit deeper. Depends on where you want to take your measurements from. Another comment that I heard, the higher groundwater table caused a failure in a service line of water. That's about as amazing a claim as you can hear. The service lines in Parkview are 30 years old. They've had to dig up and replace several of them. They've dug all the way across their parking lot and they've had to replace the plumbing in their building. And they have failure in a galvanized service line. I was up there. And they're claiming it's caused because there's water on the outside of the pipe that carries water on the inside. The pipes don't float, they don't change. And we didn't cause a failure in the service line. If you've got any other questions, I'd be happy to try and answer. Okay.
Thank you, Dan. Andy?
Just a couple of questions or a couple of things I'd like to put out there that maybe need to be looked at also. They've kind of been talked about, but nothing's really been taken a hard look at. One would be the elevation difference between where the water currently flows out of the ground along the old snowmobile trail. You can see where there's nothing in water in this little round area out there. But you can also see if you get to the north side of the little area right next to the woods where the water flows out of that, heading toward what I'm going to call the detention pond by the driveway to Parkview. That water flows through there. I think if we take a look at that, even just from looking at the aerial views, that where that water's coming out of the ground and the elevation of that area where it's flooding is still higher than where the bottom of that pond is, or actually the invert elevation of the sump is that we put in to get the water to go out. That water's flowing through that area. Yes, there's a little bit of difference in elevation, like a pothole that makes it hold it, but it's flowing. It's not standing water, it's flowing water. I think that's a difference that needs to be investigated and find out why and where it's coming out of the ground there, and possibly look at a solution to put a ditch or something at that location to get it to the bottom of that pond. And I think until we do such a thing, or until the groundwater quits coming out there for some reason that it decided to start coming out of there in 2013, I don't know why. I don't know, I mean, I'm not that kind of engineer. I couldn't tell you a thing of why that groundwater decides all of a sudden start coming out there.
Do we need a hydrologist to figure that out?
I'm not sure if even they can. They probably have a lot better opinions of why it would. I think a lot of what we're going to end up getting to is going to be opinion based, even from a hydrologist.
Larry, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you could hire a hydrogeologist. They could do a very thorough investigative study, spend a lot of money. I guess it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. It's a complex system, I know that. The groundwater and the surface water are not always interrelated at certain locations. There are a lot of different soil layers in there that may change the course of groundwater and surface water flow. So it's a very complex system coming down off those hills. That's why you have swamps on the side of hills or tops of hills. There's various layers of soil. And so you know, I'm thinking, so they determine that the water's coming out of the hill and the groundwater elevation is raised. So what do you do about that? What's the solution? Do you build a huge, like, cutoff wall of gravel or a huge ditch to try and take all this groundwater now and put it into a storm system? So it could be something that this is just not a solvable problem, other than maybe individuals have to do their own perimeter drains and sump pumps that normally didn't have to have. But if the city's thinking of hiring them to defend themselves against the claim of Division Street, I don't think it's worth the money. I don't think they're going to tell you anything that we haven't already come up with. If you're trying to solve a citywide problem, you can do it. I'm just not very hopeful that you're going to get some conclusions that are going to be constructible to solve this.
Dan?
I've got one other comment to go with this topic. We can eliminate or make the surface water problem up there go away to try and lower the groundwater table to alleviate complaints from people that have basements or sump pumps up there. It would be somewhat in contradiction of best management practices for groundwater and stormwater control that people like Tip of the Mint and the other organizations are pushing. It's part of why I didn't recommend that the city adopt the stormwater ordinances they were pushing, was to allow you the flexibility to decide what needs to be done or to take action. But what they promote is dealing with on-site retainage and letting the groundwater take its natural course. So if we start looking at draining,
so let's be careful what you wish for.
The 1910 building was the original site of the water system. It drained a spring and a creek. The creek's always been there. You didn't put in enough ditches and enough stone to kill the cedars in that small amount.
Thank you, Dan. Bill?
35 years of taxes. And now my house, I couldn't sell it. That whole investment is worth nothing. And we talk about natural water flow. We all said it used to go to the north, and that option isn't there. So if we got to divert it and put it into storm sewers, we better get it done. Because I'm not going to keep paying taxes on a house that's not worth anything.
Thank you. Any further discussion from our staff or department heads? Well, we'll move to commission discussion. Tom, would you like to start?
I just have a technical question for Bill and Larry. So when we put the catch basin in, we were 2 foot lower than the bottom of your crawl space. And then when we took the screening out, we gained another foot. So I want verification. Are we not 3 feet below your crawl space? You and I have talked about this.
Yeah, not the bottom, no. The catch basin did put a Band-Aid on everything. It stopped things from getting worse. The water had traveled all the way to that swale of cedars on the east side of my property, that where the culvert used to be, Sutliff's old property. When we put the catch basin in, it brought it back down. It like Mike had referred to, it saved my newer rental house. But then it stabilized at that point. It fluctuates a little bit now with precipitation, right, but it stabilized it. So that tells me if we keep, you know, like I said, option C would probably save my property. Mm-hmm. But we need to save everybody's property. Mm-hmm. We just need to, I like what Kevin was talking about, the ditch going behind the properties, maybe coming all the way over to the snowmobile trail, and taking care of that water. It wants to go someplace and it can't.
But the point I was making is if we're 3 feet below and you still have water there.
I don't, that hasn't been determined to the bottom of the crawl space. There's no official elevation shot for that.
Well, you took your own shots.
Right.
And then they were substantiated soon thereafter. Because you and I talked about this, but okay, we can move on.
I wouldn't be comfortable seeing those numbers, Tom.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a very complicated issue, and I appreciate both sides, and I think as commissioners, we need to come up with a solution, but obviously we're not the engineers that can come up with a technical solution. I do like the idea of both teams working together to see if we can come up with a solution that is maybe more comprehensive than Plan C by coming in with what Kevin is suggesting is catching even a culvert coming from higher up, either from the east or from the west or from both. I don't think the 6-inch solution is going to do anything. You mentioned that, you know, maybe that's a starting point. Let's lower it 6 inches. I think
every little bit helps is my
concern. Yeah, I don't. I mean, 6 inches we're gaining in one rain day. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we need to pursue that, but I think we need to pursue collaboration, cooperation, communication, and continue with the solution. With that being said, I'd like to continue addressing the experts with timelines and keep all those options open.
Jane?
Yeah, I've been looking at option C. If we could reduce the water levels 3 to 4 feet, that seemed like that would take care of a lot of problems. But like I said, we need to look at getting easements. So I think we should try to get the easements, check into that. But keeping looking at different options, I do like the one Kevin suggested, like maybe a ditch or a culvert, to look at that too. But also, like I said, take a look at getting the easements.
Derek?
Thanks, Mayor. I was hoping that we'd have a representative from Parkview here today. That would make things a little bit easier for some informal dialogue, but they're not, so.
They had to be downstate.
Oh, right.
Okay. The federal government says come.
Sure. Oh, yeah, there are a lot of things here, and, you know, this was a court a lot of day looking at, there's compelling evidence on both sides. The Division Street, if the numbers are what they are, you know, but we have the facts of what's happening on the property owner side. And Dan stated something very interesting, and it has come up in conversations I've had with some of the citizens, and mainly around, I have not spoken with Mr. Tallboys directly, but I spoke with Ms. Kajaski. And the question is, well, why is it not right, you know, in front of the senior center or that area, but down at that region? And the only logical explanation would be is if there were material underneath the roadbed that changed density that would direct flow that was backed up. Not an engineer, but that would make sense. I don't know exactly. We saw some areas that were pulled out in front of Mr. Kuhn's property and changed to a different, more permeable material. You know, but if the water level is increasing on Mr. Kuhn's side of the road, it has to go somewhere. And if it's not, you know, coming up over the Division Street, at some point it's finding its way around somehow. That logic would dictate that that's, I mean, nobody's disputing probably the genesis of this water formation. Either it's underground springs or it's accumulation from the Avalanche Hill area. So it's getting there. We have different potential, Dan had indicated there's different potential soil issues. Something changed in the spring of 2013. That's a fact that nobody from either side has denied. Something's changed. You know, water levels, lake levels have, you know, gone up and down. And if the Division 3 project was put in at the absolute lowest point, you know, it may not have been noticed. But I do want to go back and I'd seen this information from Mr. Cleveland before. I'd like to get maybe either Larry or Dan or Mike to kind of touch on it. This is the C2AE document from December 2 of 2007. And it talks about on section 4, phase 1, that references maximize, continue 24 inches as far as possible, huge tributary drainage area, consider detention pond on easterly half of project limits, parent south side, to mitigate runoff and discharge to storm sewer. Also detention pond on Pleasant Avenue for same reasons, to relieve system and maximize infiltration. If I could have perhaps Larry address that and kind of point out on the map, because I don't know what areas we're referencing here. And obviously we were talking about water buildup and trying to relieve it before it got into the storm sewer. Could you go to a map and perhaps show us that? What that was referencing in 2007?
Yeah,
I think so. Use this one. And thanks for bringing that up because it's one of the questions that were brought up in Mr. Cleveland's letter that we haven't really directly addressed.
Right.
Today, so. Okay. So the memo was talking about the drainage of this area, also south on Pleasant Avenue. And so when you build a storm sewer system, we are collecting generally surface runoff. Water that hits the ground, runs across the ground, and gets collected into a storm sewer system.
You're not moving the water table.
No, we're not. Right, so we're not talking about groundwater here, although it contributes to groundwater, but this is for surface water. So when we design a storm sewer system based on the runoff, we size the piping, okay? If you can collect some water and hold it and discharge it at a slower rate, then you can have the potential to not have to build such a large storm sewer system. Okay, so we looked at that. We looked at the properties on the south side of Division Street, on the east end particularly, although this whole area has a big drainage area. I mean, it doesn't matter whether we're talking east end or west end. So basically, as it turned out, because of there's springs on the east end, just off the roadway, that retention basin probably wasn't going to work anyways because groundwater was going to fill it. So for a retention basin, it needs to drain slowly. It fills up, drains slowly, fills up, drains slowly, but it takes some of the pressure off the main sewer collection system. Well, in this case, we basically just sized the sewer system, the storm sewer system, to take all of the drainage rather than to build retention basins that probably weren't going to work because of the high groundwater table in the area. So it's totally mixing two different things. It's got it doesn't have anything really to do with the groundwater table. It's surface runoff, just like the detention basin at Parkview is supposed to work, just like the detention basin on North Lake is supposed to work. Water runs into it at a high rate. It's got a slower outlet. It fills up, drains slowly over time, so you don't have to size the storm sewer system quite as high. Now, you bring that up, and so basically this area, this low area we're talking about, that's exactly how it's been acting. It's been acting as a retention basin. And now everybody's saying, oh, you built a retention basin, so that's the problem. So, you know, which is it? Either we build retention basins and it doesn't cause problems, or it helps fixes the problems, or you build a retention basin and now it causes problems. So, you know, that's that argument about the drainage area and the retention basins has nothing to do with this issue.
Can you show where those were proposed? Obviously, they weren't constructed, even though they're referenced. Right. Where were they going to be put in relationship to the property?
Somewhere in the east end of.
Okay, so you didn't have even a location of where they were going to potentially go?
No, we didn't have identified.
Didn't go that far.
This was just a general drainage pattern discussion.
Okay.
Mike?
It does seem to me that at the west end of the cemetery up here, we have an undeveloped portion at this area. And we had been receiving before the project regular complaints from the Van Dam property with regards to water that was flowing here and ponding just behind the trail, and I think it actually flooded the trail in the past before. We had looked at possibly creating a structure here, and I remember we looked at it, and it didn't seem like that was going to work at all for some reason.
We had to go quite a bit.
It was going to start chewing up into the cemetery and things of that nature. So what we ended up doing is, my recollection is, I think we created a stub here as well, too, to help drain Van Dam's property, which had always been flooding in the past as well. And that ties in and goes that way, I think, water-wise.
That's correct, that we did put two storms, or catch basin stubs that went behind the trail that collected surface water, then into the storm sewer system that did go west on Division.
Did that provide relief there at the Van Dam property?
It took care of the surface water. I mean, we don't get the flooding over the, it wouldn't have lowered the groundwater table.
I think Dan had a comment to your comment.
Dan?
It didn't relieve the issues. It's been quite a few years back. We used to actually have creeks that ran down there when we crossed Division and into the cemetery in the springtime. We put those out there because there weren't any retention basins or anything else. The property owner asked if we could put something in to keep it from ponding on his property, so we allowed him to put stubs in. But that was one of the areas we were looking at that issue.
Perhaps this is for Larry. Was there any, on the Division Street project, was there any consultation with whoever would have been the county drain commissioner at the time? Is that part of the input process that input? I don't know, Mark Seeley was in place at the time, or somebody before Mark. Are they part of the process to look at any drainage issues or determine of wetlands? Because I know there was some early commentary early on about, well, maybe that area is wetlands, and then it was, through research, it was revealed that it is not wetlands where the cedars and stuff are. So I just wondered, was that individual or that whoever's in the office at that time on this Division Street project to talk about, you know, the groundwater issues and drainage, where they were consulted as part of this project?
No, I don't believe so, but that's typical for a city, because city has jurisdiction right over their own.
Sure,
so
sure.
This, no.
Okay.
Not that I recall. I mean, they would be involved for soil erosion sedimentation control permit.
Sure.
But,
yeah. Okay. But during that permitting process, would that conversation come up at all, or?
To talk to the drain commissioner?
Yeah, to put, you know, you're going to need to work on moving the water from a certain area, one area to another, and here's how it can be done, or can it be done, determine it's not wetlands, so you can build a drainage pipe from that region. Was that a discussion that, did that ever take place, to your best of your knowledge?
Well, if it were a wetland, we would have had the DEQ involved, okay?
Right, which it wasn't.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't fully understand the question.
Okay.
We never talked to the drain commissioner about anything on this project. I don't believe there's any need to. It's a city jurisdiction.
Sure.
And all of the things that were handled were surface flow.
Okay. So there's no discussion back in at the beginning of this project for Division Street of that area determining, is there any, is this wetlands or not? That didn't come up at all on the that discussion.
Well, we always, as part of this project, especially since the MDOT project, we do environmental review.
Mm-hmm.
And so the project area being disturbed
right
is reviewed for wetlands, and
okay,
so there were none within the project area being disturbed. Now, that's not to say that there aren't wetlands that border this property, so, you know, but that's not the city's responsibility to go investigate.
Right, but if anything the project may have touched, they determined it was not wetlands, right?
We certify
yep
to MDOT that it's not wetlands.
Okay. The document that we were presented today by Mr. Cleavorn, January 20th, 2005, reference to Boynton Area Senior Center project. And we've talked about this in the past. That area was peat you know, bog area and would sometimes catch on fire, if I'm not mistaken. And so obviously, that water came from somewhere, so if there's not springs there continuing feeding it, it's more likely than not at some point came from the other side of Division Street. It would make sense that that's the case. I know there's a lot of soil brought in to build the senior center on. They make note on here about the existing site conditions. And I don't know who stated this. They do reference Mr. Hazel Short, who was no longer with us, from NDG at the time. It says, the existing culvert that may drain to the site needs to be located and further action determined with the city. Now, I don't know if they're referencing the mysterious missing culvert that everybody talks about in this memo. That would have to be somebody from NDG would have to go back and further clarify. I don't know. The only other commentary regards to culverts was the one that is, I believe, still there by the senior center. I believe the mayor commented that in the past it used to flow pretty heavy, and then now the flow rate has been reduced, so I don't know what caused that to change. My contention has been on the record and with the citizens is if it's determined that the city took any action to cause or exacerbate the problem, then my point is, or my feeling is, that we do what is necessary to correct, obviously unintentional. Nobody's did things to intentionally harm our residents through unintentional. If it's determined that absolutely zero city action contributed to any of this problem, this is purely nature at work through geology and whatever, then we go back to discussing what's the right and wrong thing to do, you know, as taking care of our citizens, not out of necessity or legal culpability, but out of what's the proper and best way to deal with this issue, you know. And that's where I'm at. So I guess the question, I was prepared at this point, if it's determined that we can lower the water level 3 to 4 feet with option C, today has been information shared about farther down, tying into that existing area where the culvert goes through, you know, if the Parkview grants it on the other side. And the only question I don't know is, if we did see and got permission from Parkview, would there still be efficacy to continue with the other project and for the other side for those residents farther down the street? Or would they conflict? I don't see how they would conflict if you get it into the storm drain and out of there, however that does. I think that's something worth looking at, because if we don't do anything by this winter, we're going to have spring again. If they're even half of the prediction of the snowfall, you know, that we're supposed to have, you know, there's going to be, again, more surface water and so forth. But Larry had a comment.
Just what to respond to that.
Sure.
So that option C,
right.
I don't see a problem. If you construct that now, and you construct it as deep as you can construct
absolutely
it at
deep
that location,
yep.
That doesn't preclude from adding on to
okay
it and going further mm-hmm west at any time in the future, if you can do it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't make sure,
sure
to say it's going to work, but it doesn't preclude it either. So that is not a reason not to do it,
okay,
I guess. Just because you haven't solved that problem to the west.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. My point is that based on that, if we do it, then we gather new data, mm-hmm, and we see determination that maybe in the spring, you know, if we can't do it at the other section before winter, at least we are more informed and we've probably reduced the impact, overall, and definitely in the area that Mr. Kuhn mm-hmm and Mrs. Kostewski right have talked about. So, you know, we had approved back in, I believe, August, for the city manager to go forth and bring some experts in to try to make a determination. At the end of the day, I would still like a determination, because You know, at the end of the day, we're still left with questions. This, even with the drawings, and based on that, even I can figure out that if that is in fact accurate, which I presume it is, that the groundwater is underneath where the road bed was not even touched. We could go back to the area in front of Mr. Kuhn's driveway where that, they call it Marl, was removed, and the, you know, I don't know if that had any, that, obviously that didn't change the whole Division Street situation with water backup. You know, why it's happening and why all of a sudden in 2013 we're having this issue when it hadn't before, you know, personally I would like to know, if at all possible, what has changed, and so we have a clear understanding. If I don't get that, then at least I want to do something positive and constructive to at least further remediate the issue to the property owners, whatever way we can. So that's where I'm at. I would still like to know why, but I definitely want to move forward. I'm prepared to, you know, at this point, I'm willing to move forward on my philosophy that even if we were totally not culpable in any way, that, okay, it's the right thing to do because we have people living there, we're taking the tax money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if that was the case that, well, it's, you know, the water's gonna come down, then we should have not approved it for a building site to begin with, in hindsight. That's, you know, if we're gonna use that logic, then why do we even allow people to build there if we knew what the kind of situation on the ground was? So, at this point, I'm in favor of, let's see if we can take it down. 4 feet would be great, and have as much impact. We do have some empirical data based on what Mrs. Gajewski said and Mr. Kuhn, that this first little phase that we've done has had some impact and stabilized. Now, Mrs. Gajewski said it's resumed back up. Is it now exceeding what that can take care of? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how long it lasted before it built back up. But I'm sorry?
1 month.
1 month, okay. Mm-hmm. So that tells me it's not a tidal wave, but it's not a trickle. At some point, it's refilling and working its way over to that property. So I would feel comfortable. I think it's the right thing to do. Again, I would still like to know why this change occurred, why it's happened. Is it critical at the end of the day? One could argue no. One could argue yes. We should know. But I think if we move forward with something on, you know, as Mr. Cleaborn had presented to us and shown on a map, city property surrounds all this affected area. It's our property that, you know, this water is coming through and going through to the residents. I think that would be enough, in my opinion, to say it, we should do the right thing just based on that. So, again, not to keep beating a dead horse, I would be in favor of, at this point, moving forward with option C, get it as close to 4 foot, bring that down a little bit. I know Dan had commented on the tip of the mitt and how we deal with, you know, water tables and things, and clearly we don't want to do anything that we don't have to, but at the end of the day, you know, when it comes to property owners that we have taken tax money from, I think we need to do what needs to be done as sound and principled as possible. So that's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Laura?
Yeah, a few things. On option B, just out of curiosity, it says it would reduce the water. It would go down about 12 inches. Would that reduce the water by 12 inches? Reduce, yes, that level? And then what would be the cost of doing that portion? There was no cost amount attached to that.
Going into the roadway, I'm going to, off the top of my head, it's like $15,000.
Okay. And would that then alleviate the problem more evenly across by doing that and option C together?
No.
No. Okay, so option C would be one, it would be one or the other, but not both?
Yeah.
So which, in your opinion, would be the better one?
C provides the greater depth.
All right, so if we can get an easement, that would be about the same cost then, basically. Okay. How many residents' homes are affected? Do we know a number? Just roughly? Yeah.
They've been communicating more with Kevin Cleaver.
I know the two individuals here have been here quite often, and some that you mentioned, but about how many homes are affected by this?
Well, Mr. Kuhn owns these three parcels here.
Okay.
Mr. Tallboys is right here. Mrs. Kajeski is down here.
So that's five. Okay. All of that.
You've got 90-some apartments.
Right, okay.
With hundreds of people.
Does that affect mostly just the ground floor, though, apartments?
These are the areas here in this front section that got affected more by their water breakage. The Haynes are here. I gave you, if you want to, Laura, take a look at the map that I gave you.
Yeah.
The names are already...
Oh, are they? Okay, all right.
That may help you.
So there's quite a few. There's probably...
You go all the way down here, I've heard from them. These people from Wilson Street, again, we've just started to contact, and basically, as people know that I've been involved in being lead dog, I start to hear from others. So the water table has built up so that even over here on Wilson Street...
Okay, all right, I was just kind of get an idea about how widespread that is. So that's a lot of different properties then. Okay, that was just a question I had. Does anyone done an estimate on the volume of water that we'd have to alleviate rather than just thinking about it and bringing it down like 3 feet to 4 feet or whatever we can do? Does anyone know what kind of volume increase?
Well, that's why we consulted an engineer.
Okay.
You know, the ability for us to measure things is through digging, and so when you've got the well points or soil borings that went down 12 feet before Parkview was constructed, and now you're hitting water at 4 feet. You can do the math. Okay, the water table's raised 8 feet.
That's
what
a huge volume.
What total volume
that
means underwater? I don't know. Even if you hire the best hydrologist in the country, that you get a really good answer to that question. In terms of volume, no. In terms of depth, yes. It's come up 8 feet.
All right. So I guess that leads into my next question for Larry. Maybe you can answer it. Is our current storm system that's in place able to handle that kind of volume?
I couldn't answer that without knowing what the volume is.
That's what I was...
With groundwater flow, generally it's a bit lower rate than surface runoff.
So if we did option C, and in the storm system can't take that volume of water, then where are we?
Oh, option C is, I don't think, any risk of
taking that,
not
much
that kind of volume, though.
Okay.
I mean, the rate that is coming out of the ground and flowing into that current situation is probably not going to change. It's just going to, I mean, for a little while, until that's lowered.
Until it drains it down, and then it'll kind of level off. Okay, and my next question is, how soon could we do option C? Before winter, still?
Construction-wise, I think it can still be done. You would have to cross the driveway to Parkview Apartments. You have the legal matter of getting an easement from them, probably the first thing. So whether they got asphalt back in their apartment or their driveway would be a question, whether they could live with that, because it might have to be gravel. But construction-wise, it's still feasible to do it right now, as long as you don't get into the roadway and you're just crossing the drive.
Okay, and I'm kind of the mind to say go with option C, but then if that doesn't quite do it, come back with other options, like maybe what Mr. Cleburne had mentioned, or maybe some other options from engineers in the future. Let's see what we can do to alleviate this issue. Give our residents some peace of mind in that area. I know it's been a strain on them. So that's where I'm at.
Mike? Just a couple comments to follow up with some of the commissioners' comments around the table here. I caution the commission to be very careful with what they want to do here. Obviously, we all want to help the people, and if there is something that we have done to undo it, or if there's ways to correct an issue on city property, that gives us a rationale for doing something. Boyne City is a waterfront community. We've got rivers and swamps. We've got a lot of high land around us that all flows towards the Boyne River and Lake Charlevoix. I do not believe that we have a responsibility to determine whether people should or shouldn't build on their property. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, buyer beware. That's mm-hmm. their determination to do. We have people all around the community that decide whether to build basements or to build on slabs. Mm-hmm. Whether it's on Maddie Lane or other parts of town, they buy property, they determine if and how to develop it. That's ultimately their responsibility. And I want to be careful that the city commission, in trying to help somebody here, isn't inadvertently saying we're taking on everybody's responsibility for their decisions on how they built the house or where they built it. We have these situations all over town. Mm-hmm. Staff hears about them all the time. We have severe flooding that was taking place off of Main Street earlier this year. East Main Street, just mm-hmm. off of M-75, where we helped pump some people out. Again, someone decided recently to build a house back there, probably within the last mm-hmm. 5 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. They built it in a swamp. Then they want us to come and fix their problem. The city does not have the responsibility or the resources to make everybody's property in Boyne City mm-hmm. buildable. And if we start going down that path, we can forget about building a new city hall or a fire department or anything like that, because we'll spend all our money on this. Mm-hmm. So again, mm-hmm. I'm very conscious and want to help people where we have a responsibility to do it. Mm-hmm. But to say that we have a responsibility for everybody, I don't believe it. Going back to the question with the volume of water, I mean, you've got to look at the area that you're covering. Mm-hmm. What is the feed area that's flowing into this area, and how much water do you have on it? Mm-hmm. Again, I go out and look at Lake Michigan or Lake Charlevoix, and I think of the trillions or, you know, mm-hmm. how much water has come and gone and come again in the last few years. And how does it get to the lake? It rains and it comes through the soils mm-hmm. to get mm-hmm. to the lake, a lot of it, or else it rains and goes directly into the lake. Right. We're having water coming down from beyond our city limits, south of us, and basically in the whole circle around us, mm-hmm. coming through Boyne City on its way to low ground mm-hmm. or to the lake levels. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be able to fix all of that. And again, personally, I don't believe a lot of it's our responsibility mm-hmm. in the first place, or any of it. I have not seen anything, as much as I've heard some of these comments back and forth. The pieces just don't add up. And I think if we did get to the courts of last resort, which would be a court of law, I don't think anybody would find us negligent or responsible with regards to it. Mm-hmm. Do I want to go down that path? No. Do I think there's some intermediate steps here with regards to what we can do? Yes. I like option C. Mm-hmm. I think that's justifiable on a number of levels. I like Mr. Cleaverne's idea with regards to, are there mm-hmm. some other options that we could do with regards to the property immediately to the east of the waterworks mm-hmm. building, mm-hmm. which, as Dan has clearly indicated, and any of our historical records will show, has always been wet. There's been mm-hmm. creeks flowing through it and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I just want to make mm-hmm. sure that, in my responsibility to you, that we're not stepping inadvertently into something that this community is going to regret long term. Some individual people might benefit it, but it's something that could basically bankrupt the city. I agree with Commissioner Gaylord completely. I'd like to know why all this is happening. Yeah. I didn't pursue that pit because of that path, because I saw it basically as a money pit. You know, mm-hmm. we could spend 50 or 60 or 70 or whatever $1,000 and still not have a clear answer that really helps us with the solution. Mm-hmm. So I share his concerns with regards to that, and I'm just trying mm-hmm. to figure out, as I rank recommendations to you, what's the best use of city resources. We can sure go out and hire a hydrologist, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, where is that going to get us? And are there some solutions we can find in the meantime that might mm-hmm. help us? So again, again, I appreciate everybody's concern. I share the concerns. I want to help Bill and Ms. Kajewski and everybody else in that neighborhood too. But I think it's got to be people working together, and it's not all necessarily just on us. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mike. Mm-hmm. I'm also in favor of a motion on the item C. And particularly, it's our properties at stake there too, and our trails going back up to Avalanche. And it's, seems like it would be the best fix for that section. But again, it could create relief on the west side of the property too. We don't know that. And then the Dan's discussion about the different types of soils that divert the water in different directions. It's obvious up at North Wayne where I live, we've got new springs. Got one goes right by my house. We filled up the west or the east side of our driveway there 3 times in 40 years, and it's washed out again. I mean, it just sunk 2 feet. So I mean, it's just, you know, the type of soils, I think that's probably an explanation of what's happened where I live. But it's, so there's a possibility that starting with C could bring relief to the, you know, the west side of the Parkview properties and even to our own properties there too, as far as the buildup of, you know, the buildup of groundwater. So I'm in favor of moving forward with C myself, and I appreciate the input and the research that you've done, Mr. Clevemore.
All I do is answer the phone. I get a lot of calls.
Still, the collaboration, as Mike says, with everyone else that's involved in this, so that we come up with the best practice, best solution, and it's. So I'm going to ask for a motion from the commission.
I'll make a motion for consideration to authorize staff to spend up to $20,000 to further reduce water levels on city property south of Division Street as recommended.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Sansom.
Aye.
Town.
Aye.
Gaylord.
Aye.
Motion carried.
And I think we'll take a few minutes to take a break. What, 2 hours and 15 minutes? And Mike.
Mayor, if I could, at 3 o'clock we have an appointment, as I mentioned earlier, with Lower Lake Street. So when we come back from our break, if you could kind of address the issues that Larry and Andy need to be here for. I was supposed to be on that meeting with them to go meet with the representative of the MDEQ. I can stay here and get us through the rest of the commission items. But if we could do what we can to get those folks out so they can meet with the DEQ so we're not pushing Lower Lake Street back, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
So. And I can help guide us through that when we get back from the break if you wish to take it.
Very good. Make a motion, we take a 5 minute break. We'll reconvene at 2:22.
Second.
Roll call.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Sansom.
Aye.
Town.
Aye.
Gator.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Motion carried.